It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
What's going down? This is Peanut, one of the producers here at Cannabis Talk 101. Blue, Joe Grande, Craig, and Mark Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law, are all gone for the holidays, so I'm bringing you the top 10 Cannabis Talk 101 interviews of 2020. Did your favorite one make the cut? Let's jump right into it and find out.
Number 10.
40 G's.
Broken checks, huh?
And yeah, so he actually, this is our original founder, investor, and my dear friend, and you know, it's a good thing when you can be in business with the people you'd be in a foxhole with.
Sure, sure. You know, let me ask you guys, I mean, are you guys producing, where are these being produced again?
So we produce them just south of Mexico City.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah.
And by the little Keebler elves, like for real?
Like 15 of them in a tree.
is that where the hemp's coming from too? Or?
So right now we're sourcing the hemp from Colorado, India, and actually China. That's the one thing in the United States is that there's not a lot of decortization plants. There's not a lot of actual infrastructure to take hemp stock or fiber and make it into industrial product. And that's kind of a linchpin. China's actually been doing it and utilizing hemp. They have massive hemp fields, even with THC counts of 8-9% that they don't give a crap about. They just mow it and they make it into product.
Is there THC in these shoes?
Do you want to find out?
I do. <Yeah. laughs> He's going to go home and burn his own shoes. He's all, I have it at home.
Get the lighter away from Wasserman.
What are the different names of these? Because you just said this first one is what?
So that we practice a lot of plant medicine. So this is where all these inspired come from. The ones in front of you, Joe, are sacred geometry. The ones in front of you are palm drives. These are ayahuascas.
Oh, and that's what Mark has, right? You have the ayahuascas?
Yes, I believe I do.
And these are the florists. And these are our four pairs that we're displaying today. We're actually coming out with a whole nother women's line.
Very nice.
There you go.
Thank you for saying that like that. I love the women's line.
Oh, we love the women, too. We want to support them. Actually, we're led by a female minority leader. So Jessica Velasquez of Indiva Advisors is probably the best financial services industry support for the cannabis industry that I could recommend. And she's our CFO.
That's and you awesome. Guys have Julie Gomez.
Don't forget about Julie Gomez, badass all-star.
Yeah, Julie Gomez is helping you guys out. I don't know what her official title is, but I know she's with the company.
Oh, yeah.
And she's a minority that grew up on the good old east side of San Jose. I love that
We're
girl.
Just starting to catch fire. So
that's yeah, awesome. You're dealing with these different countries. You're getting the hemp from here to there. What are the legal hurdles that you've had to battle over the last couple of years?
You know, the legal hurdles...
Say it's cotton?
Well, you know, the usage of industrialized hemp product already processed into like a fabric which we can stain and then weave is actually very easy to import and export out of many different countries. So the regulatory process that's been really tough for us is exporting out of Mexico. Because I don't know if you guys are familiar, you have to bribe everybody.
Yeah.
No,
just
no,
talk
not,
to
not
Blue.
Just
He's
the
got you. I
not
got
just
you.
The guy that's shipping. I'm talking about the mayor, the police. You know, the you really do department. Have to give
the
credit to where it's due.
Right.
And, you know, I'm cool with that. I like greasing palms. It's fun to do. I like bribing people. I think I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
But it was a learning experience getting it out, and we got some shipment stuck in customs and stuff. But we're learning. We're
because
evolving.
It was hemp, they kept it in customs?
Yeah, and it didn't have the proper diet. Declarations.
That was episode 77 from selling ice cream to selling hemp shoes with Aaron Shaw and Peter Holsworth, owners of Fly Soul Shoes. Those shoes were actually pretty dope. If you missed them, check out the Instagram at Cannabis Talk 101 to find those. Let's keep the countdown rolling. It's number 9 on Cannabis Talk 101's top 10 interviews of 2020.
Number 9.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. Mark Wasserman's got a hot question.
I do.
What's
I do.
Up, man?
I
sitting
do.
There jumping around.
So,
hold on.
So, you know, in California, physicians can write a recommendation. I'm wondering, and not a prescription, it's called a physician's recommendation. How does it work in Georgia?
Same. I'm one of the original, we started writing recommendations in 2015 here in Georgia. So
it
one
is...
of the first few doctors here that make medicinal cannabis recommendations. We have started out with 8 diseases, and now we have a total of 17 diseases.
Now, is it on the horizon in Georgia for it to be a prescription, or is that still not going to happen because of federal illegality?
Still, we don't like to say prescriptions because prescriptions are typically picked up at a pharmacy.
Gotcha.
This drug is picked up at a retail, which is called a dispensary, as everyone knows. So that's why doctors make recommendations, not prescriptions.
Now, are you afraid of any kind of blowback federally because it's federally illegal?
No. I salute all the doctors that, you know, with the Compassion Act in California, you know, those are the doctors that were kind of crucified.
Yes.
And, you know, Pop Brothers-in-Law, you know, at, like 5 years later, I think in that was 96. I think it took to 2002 or 2003 is when the feds, you know, kind of protected doctors. But
yeah, that's correct.
It was those first 5 years, you know, once California went green, those doctors, you know, were threatened.
Now, doctor, have
their licenses, their DEA license would be taken away. But now I have no fear at all.
I commend you for your efforts and your courage.
Yeah, no doubt.
I know a couple of lawyers like that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Rashawn Hodge, a medical doctor in Atlanta, Georgia, who treats his patients with cannabis, was such a great dude. So humble, so chill, very knowledgeable. Go take a listen to that podcast. Episode 145, it aired December 17th. Let's keep the podcast countdown going. The Cannabis Talk 101's top 10 interviews of 2020.
Number 8.
What because it turns
that,
into.
That right there. Like, I mean, I in junior college, I did speech debate, impromptu speaking, and that's some hell of an impromptu shit, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, and listen, when you look at all the great comedians, I mean, it's almost like looking at Michael Jordan. There was no weaknesses to his game. He could do it all. And so many guys can do one thing better than another. To be able to improvise and dirty humor and clean humor and, you know, I take pride in that. So once upon a time ago, my improv skills, I was scared to leave the material. That's your playbook. I was just scared to call an audible. But then I kept studying certain dudes like D.L. Hewley and Joe Torre and their ability to go into the crowd and annihilate.
And just freelance and just have some fun.
Really just walk in and crush it.
Yeah, because if everybody can just sense you sticking to a script, if some dude decides to test you or fuck with
heckle.
You, then you're like a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
You got to try to treat it like prison. You got to stab the toughest motherfucker on the first day so they know your booty hole off limits.
Well, yeah. Speaking of that, yeah. I heard of something that my boy Peanut just showed us that you were in. Was it Miami, Florida? What happened there, Peanut, again?
Oh, that's an old story.
Oh, Indianapolis?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Indianapolis. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what happened there? What's that scenario?
Long story short, this kind of thug dude was in there with his girlfriend and his sister and her lady, and his sister was gay. So I did some of my gay material, and this motherfucker from then on was looking at me like he was contemplating, do I kill you now or after you get off stage?
Yeah.
And he couldn't really take a joke. And listen, no matter how long you've been doing this, you always have that one guy or gal
in the crowd.
Can't take a joke.
They sit their monkey asses right up front. Yeah. Like, go sit in the back if you want to be miserable.
Yeah.
Because I always tell people,
if you want to judge me from the fucking back.
Dude, if you buy courtside seats, you're going to be part of the game.
You know what I mean?
There's a chance.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if I fuck with you, and this is comedy, at the end of the day, you know what this is.
Yeah.
How you come into a comedy club and have an issue with jokes? It's like going to a strip club and you got problems with titties. Like, nigga, this is what this is.
Yeah.
Get your tits off me.
Yeah. What's all these nipples and shit?
Yeah, put these things
away. Why is there a nipple in my ear?
Yeah, man, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's like
guy flashed on you a little bit. How did it go down? What exactly?
Well, you know, he just kept mean mugging me. Like, you know what I mean? No matter what I said and no matter how hard I tried to make him laugh, he just kept looking at me like it was about to go down. And
was he a little guy or a big guy?
Not a big motherfucker.
Oh, he thought he was a big
motherfucker. So
he was
like,
don't play with me.
Well, no, at one point I said to him, I was like, dog, what's wrong? He said, it wasn't funny. I said, no, it was very funny. It wasn't funny to you, but that's why comedy is subjective. And I could just, this energy he was just giving off was like, I was really in my mind going, all right, how do I map this out? Because I know this motherfucker is going to jump on
exit?
Stage.
Where's the fire exit?
Or come get me afterwards. And when the show was over, he walked past me, didn't say nothing. But, and listen, this is not the first time. I think I had 8 instances, 2 in Canada of all places, where one girl threw a pitcher of beer at me. Another girl tried to rush me and her boyfriend stopped her.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, I had a girl in Connecticut at the Hartford Funny Bone throw a ketchup bottle in my face.
Man.
A plastic ketchup bottle.
And why?
Listen, if I'm performing in a room of 400 people, I don't give a fuck if I'm making $3.99 laugh. I'm focused on the one that's not.
Yeah.
Because I'm going, what is your problem?
Yeah, why aren't you?
Why aren't you into this?
Yeah.
So if I see you and you sticking out like a sore thumb, I'm going to address you.
Yeah, that was comedian and actor Ari Spears, who actually brought his own little twist to the 25-word script that the Pop Brothers at Law always suggest you use, and he had us all cracking up with all his impersonations. If you want to go listen to that one, episode number 99, aired October 14th of 2020. We'll be right back with the rest of the countdown. Welcome back to the Cannabis Talk 101 Top 10 Interviews of 2020. This guy right here has opened up his own dispensary, been in cannabis game for at least 20 years, and he is also probably in your dad and your mom's favorite cult classic movie. It's Squints Palidores from The Sandlot.
Number 7.
Part of the supply chain is actually growing the shit. So
yeah.
Kudos to you.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, now it's time for the high five with Chauncey, also known as Squints. And let me tell you guys, Squints has got some fire in front of us right now.
I'm getting high just smelling it, which isn't usual for me.
Our whole building's walking around, looking around.
Yes, Cass, it's going to be that.
I can tell.
It's nosy.
Because coming from my background and my kid and the connoisseur that he's made me into, it's like, hey, try my joint. I'm like, you really want me to try your joint? Because I'll usually rip it open and find all the crap that you rolled up in your joint. Unlike the kids' joints, and I'm sure like yours, it's flour.
Yeah.
No additives. No anything. And so it's very rare that I can smoke a joint of someone else's shit and go, man, this is good. And I can already tell. Go ahead, Blue, with the high five.
Question number one of the high five with Chauncey, also known as Squints from the Sandlot. How old were you the first time you smoked, and where did you get it from?
I was 13, I guess. I was in seventh grade. It was on the field at our junior high school, at Sutter Junior High in the Valley, in the San Fernando Valley. And this chick I hung out with named Amy, she was maybe a year older than me or not. She actually told this story on Instagram the other day, like true story. And she like had brought some swag and a pipe, this little like marble looking weird old pipe that they used to have.
Yeah.
And we were smoking on the quad at the school in junior high in seventh grade. That's the first time I ever got high.
Fantastic.
Wow. What is your favorite way to use cannabis?
I'm a paper smoker. I like papers and crushed flower. Yeah.
Why?
Yep, me too.
Why? It's the purest way for me to taste the flower, and that's what I'm trying to get at. I smoke everything, and I'll try everything. I'll take dabs, whatever. But that's my go-to for, like, I want to break it down, and I want to taste it, and I want to feel the effects of it. That's how I judge something and hunt strains and things like that, is by rolling up flower.
Fantastic. Question number 3 of the high five. If you could, I almost fucked that one up. Question number 3 of the high five: craziest place you've ever used cannabis or smoked it?
Gosh, everywhere.
Anywhere. I mean, just anywhere.
Craziest place. I know a guy that was like, deja vu right now. Like,
last guy did it on the Paramount lot.
Yeah, that's true.
He did it in a smoke. He did it in a airplane.
Yeah, I did. I did.
That was as crazy.
I did smoke before I went to work one day when I was working on a film when I was younger. That was a bad experience, actually.
We were talking about that.
You're actually saying the same thing. I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess it either enhances your performance or it doesn't.
No,
it doesn't. One or the other. Yeah. We've had people say it enhances how they act or how they work, and other people, like, they did it once, it didn't work, and you don't do it until later.
Yeah, no, for me, it was, I thought I had more time than I had, and it was really early, and I got the set early, and I had bought this brand new bubbler that was like really big, and this is still like, I was like 18 probably, but I pulled it out and I smoked this big bowl, and I was like, oh, I got time, I'm gonna be able to chill in my trailer and then go to makeup and eat and everything's gonna be good. And like, I literally got on set and they were like, we gotta get you into hair and makeup immediately because they moved your scene up. And I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, can I eat first? And they were like, no.
You're like, you're on now.
No, literally. So here I am. I'm like, I'm still a kid, obviously. And I'm like super, I was smoking out of a bubbler in the car. So it was obviously just, I was like baked. And I'm sitting in the makeup trailer with these bright ass lights and these people all chipper trying to talk to me. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have a panic attack. I know it.
Damn, that's crazy. Smoking on a movie set as a teenager, a 14 or 15 year old at that? Must be nice, Squints. It must be nice. Now jumping right into an interview with Joe from MJ Wilderness, located here in Orange County, California, who tells us about his brand and his product.
Number six.
I work with kids that are 2-3 years old up to 95 years old, and they don't want to be high, but they'd like to have a chance to at least try it and heal.
So when you say the medicine with the lower THC, would that be for anyone and everyone? Like, say, for instance, Mark, when he says he gets medicated, or Craig, would they be better medicated if they weren't smoking and they were doing just more CBD? Or when you use that reference, is it only for people who need it for a certain treatment or illness?
Good question. Actually, you can take cannabis in any dose and it can be therapeutic. It depends on the individual person and what they're trying to ameliorate. I know a lot of women like to smoke cannabis because it helps with anxiety, it helps with depression. The one thing that I've seen with people that have serious disease is you're better off almost resetting, taking 3 days off and not doing anything, and then starting with the lowest dose. Because shockingly, you guys probably, and most people won't believe this, but the 54 cancer remissions that I have, these people took no more than 100 milligrams a day total. That's the
equivalent. I was going to ask you that next.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of taking a couple hits off a joint. But I stretch it out over the full day. And as Blue was mentioning, you know, what do you do at night? So I have a nighttime formula that you take before bed, a serum, and then you do the suppositories. So you're getting the medication while you're sleeping, and makes for a great night's sleep too.
It's just crazy to think that out of the 50.
How long did it actually take you to make the formula and create these formulas? What was that process like, and how long did it take? And what were some of those legal hurdles that you had to get past because of the laws surrounding cannabis?
So the original method that I used was I mixed the cannabinoid oils with honey, agave, and natural syrups. But what I found was it's all sugar, and cancer is fed by sugar. So I kind of moved away from that, and I developed the serums in order to absorb into a different metabolic pathway in the body. And so as far as the testing goes, when I got into the legal market, they test for everything, 70 pesticides, 40 solvents, 15 heavy metals, everything. And I was able to pass it on the first try, shockingly. I mean, even the homogeneity test. On the legal side, it really has been more or less whatever the state allows us to do. I think as far as methods, it's not that difficult of a process.
What up? It's Peanut, the producer here at Cannabis Talk 101. Let's go up to the Bay Area with Tookie Blunts on Cannabis Talk 101's top 10 interviews of 2020.
Number five.
You have, in Oakland, we have a thing called a technical assistance program that are supposed to help people like us, but they're getting paid and not doing anything. They're asking me to come train people. How you getting paid by the state, but you want me to come in for free to train people? No, I need some money too.
Right.
So if we can get people part of the, you can't have people making decisions in a space that's not in the space.
Sure.
Period. Sure.
Well,
period.
Yeah.
Period, point blank.
But we have so many.
But we have the entire government making our rules who have never been in the space.
Never even smoked a joint.
And nor did they even hire people that are in that
but,
space.
But I mean, just like here, they're supposed to have that technical assistance, and it just, you know, I think some of the cities, I mean, it sounds good. They may have good intentions. I don't know. A lot of it's politics. You know, if you look at LA, there was a bunch of shit going on. We actually broke a story with one of my applicants who caught an aide talking about people getting in early. I don't know if you ever saw any of that. That was actually my client who came to me saying, Craig went to talk to this guy, and my husband happened to be taping it, and he was talking about the Russians,
yeah, Armenian yeah. mob,
Armenian mob getting
just
in,
just crazy.
Everybody
shit.
Got in dirty, 30 minutes early to the portal, and just all kinds of crap. And it really, unfortunately, it didn't make a fucking bit of difference.
No.
And what are those pros and cons, as you kind of mentioned earlier, that you see for social equity, as you're the first ever to go there? And I'm sure a million cats from the town to New York have come up to you and said, Tookie Blunt, help me, Alfonso. What do I need to do? So break down for the listener that's out there that's going, damn, I got a record. People are approaching me, or I want to get in the game. Lace us up.
Okay, so give me a minute, because this is like a couple-parted answer. One, as far as everybody getting reform, everybody getting out of jail for cannabis has to happen. They got to get out. But that also comes with us voting in the right elections and not just in the ones we think we pose a voting. You got to vote for your city councils and your mayors, and people have to understand that.
The bottom
so
up.
True. So true.
All people, black, white, pink, whatever, we all have to do that for whoever we vote, because by the time it gets to the presidential, it's too late. Even though you still got to vote, but by then the decision's already made. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like whatever. So that's part of it. Two, if you want to get in this space, really want to be in this space. What I mean by that is, yeah, free everybody that's been locked up for it. But do I want everybody that's locked up for it to come into the space and they're really not going to approach this like a business, then fuck it up, get closed, lose money, go in debt. And then that's going to be what the rest of the community talks about. Ah, look at that black person in the cannabis space. We told you this was going to happen. So if you are going to get in the space, go to your Oaksterdams, get your learning, get your certificates, you know, reach out and get training on the field you want to be in. But also don't come in here thinking everyone's going to open a dispensary and everyone's going to grow weed. Those are two of the hardest things to do in the cannabis space anywhere, whether it's legal or illegal, is grow weed and sell weed. So if you think that you could just get into that, don't come in expecting to get into that. No, I not like to kill anyone's dreams, but you have to be real. Like, everyone wants to grow and sell. That's the main question I get. Like, can we grow and sell? No, everyone can't grow and sell. Learn how to make the lights that go in the dispensary. I mean, learn how to do security. Learn how to do the deliveries. Learn how to host podcasts about weed. Like, there's other stuff that you can do. So my main thought when I tell people if they want to get in it is make sure they really want to get in it. Do the training that it takes to be in it. And then we see what happens. You know what I mean? But you got a lot of people who are just going to get out and jump in the game. I believe that's going to fuck us up.
That was Tucky Blunt repping the Bay Area here on Cannabis Talk 101's Top 10 Interviews of 2020. When we come back, we're going to hook you up with the Top 4 Interviews of 2020. Usually this is where little brother comes in and says thanks to Jennifer, Pitt, Elvis, and myself, Peanut. Since he's not here today, I'm going to say thank you to you, Cannabis Talk 101 listeners, for making 2020 a great year for us. Make sure you call in 800-420-1980 and leave us a voicemail. Let's jump right back into the countdown with number 4 of Cannabis Talk 101's Top 10 Interviews of 2020.
Number 4.
Wow.
And so he is still but he's still receiving like unjust system because there was no other drugs. It was all cannabis and he got a life sentence.
But that's
bullshit. So wait, well, let's continue. There might be something else that's involved here. Like, you know what I mean? A death.
Nope. Nobody died.
No. Even from when the cannabis goes bad, sorry, from we're reading it, it doesn't get worse than this.
Why in Northern California?
But just continue with the story. Watch. Keep hearing the story out.
This is from the feds. And so the backstory is the cannabis is going from California to North Carolina.
There's a
from North Carolina.
State lines.
But I had never left
Canada.
California. Corvain had never left California. And so to be charged in North Carolina was already...
Oh, you were being charged in North Carolina.
And for nothing, because all she did was allow a boy to put the money in her bank account.
But in North Carolina, though.
Yeah, which is crazy. What did they?
No,
how did they associate the North Carolina? Well, how does that even get?
Because there's rats.
I'm a trapper, right? I come from that world. So when you go, let's just use Florida. You're in California now. My guy in Florida is putting money into my account.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Even though I'm in California, the transaction's happening in Florida.
Oh, so is money getting transactions
now?
Out
we're
of state
interstating,
though?
Right? Am I clear?
That's
to that?
Exactly. So
yeah,
it was
getting
shipped.
Look at you. Oh, I know that game. Trust me, I know that game.
They might find game. You one day.
Oh,
you
I'm
better
just depositing your account, bro. I got you. Oh,
you're all,
okay.
No. Give me the cash.
No. I got a guy in Florida right now that'll pick it up, bro. It. Yeah, I'm good. Yes, I got you.
See, and then he knows, don't put it in my account.
So I
you needed to tell Evelyn.
You needed
like,
to tell me.
No, yeah, trust me. Yes, I know. We used to go out to Florida and get money. What do they call, Chris? You were there. Money orders.
You were there?
I had 10 people out there getting money orders out there.
Allegedly.
Allegedly coming home with hundreds of thousands of dollars on
money orders
in different
only way
and fold them up like they look like trash in your bag and come with the money orders and then deposit the money here.
Uh-huh.
And
so
that's
obviously
how I
she didn't
stayed
know
out
it.
Of jail.
Correct. But then again, you didn't think you're doing anything wrong because it's cannabis.
And I wasn't tripping. Like, I legit wasn't tripping. I was not tripping.
So you're there 3 days, or you're hearing all these arraignments, and did you ever get out from that 3 day to come home?
I did. They let me out 4 days later. I sat in the county jail. I was too afraid to take a shower. I slept on tea bags because the room smelled like real tea bag. Like,
don't.
I know. Shit.
Hold on. That's my nickname when I'm dancing. They call me Teabag Grande.
I meant to say like herbal tea bag.
Thank you for clearing that up. Okay. I didn't know if you were requesting a dance from me or what. I didn't know if Pitt told her my nickname. I didn't know what's going on. Hey, Dad.
I'm already hearing this guy. I'm getting the chills up the back right. of my neck.
Like, oh, he already knows. I've been teabagging fools for years around here.
I knew when I said it, I said something wrong.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But the shit was rough. The shit was rough for 4 days. And they let me out. They let me out on bond. And I was out from August of 2012 to October of 2013.
We've made it to the top three in the countdown. This is former Los Angeles Laker and podcast host of All the Smoke, Matt Barnes, who joined us on Cannabis Talk 101.
Number three.
I'm someone who, you know, eventually wants to run for mayor of my hometown, Sacramento.
Go ahead.
So I've been doing a lot of groundwork in Sacramento and working with politicians on bills and police reform and all that kind of stuff. So I'm starting to get, you know, a little bit of the grasp on the politics side. But, you know, you just have a bunch of people who don't get it trying to make rules about it. So, you know, slowly but surely, we're doing things and making waves and they're starting to listen. So hopefully something will come with that.
And that's where real change comes, though, from when people in the community who grew up in there, especially minority base, when we go back and do something huge like that. Matt, I commend you. I hope you do that shit, man. That's going to be dope if you
Thank
become
you.
Mayor.
Yeah, we say that a lot to people who ask, what can I do? What can we do? You know, and we say, go vote. But you really want to do something? Go do it. Get involved. Become an elected official and make that change.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many people running at all the different levels, from the city level all the way up to the federal level, who support legalization of cannabis. I read an article recently where it was an odds maker 8-9 months ago, had it 300-1 that it would go federal in the next year or two. Now, with the changing landscape, this is actually pretty cool. With the changing landscape, and if we can flip, Democrats can flip 5-6 seats.
It's only three.
Yeah, not that many.
You got to get rid of McConnell.
If McConnell is there, seats. And flip the presidency, I mean, it could be 21, 22 that it's done, because I know Sanders has the ear, or Biden has the ear of Sanders, and Sanders is in Biden's head that you better get off this shit about cannabis and legalize it. And I've read that other places where Sanders is really leaning hard on him to do something if
Biden hasn't been that strong yet with it, though. He's flip-flopped already from the get-go, which I like. You want to come over, but yet hasn't had a strong flip-flop I should look at it this way.
If we flip, if both houses are Democrat, he is not going to veto a bill. I can't see him ever doing that. So as opposed to, he might not with the stroke of his pen do something like he should,
but
like Trump said he was going to do, and he lied to the American public about doing it and leaving it up to the states. He wanted all those stoners to vote for him that first time around because he might let it, you know, one issue people, and he didn't do it, and he's not going to do it. If he does it to try to win the election, I hope he does do it, but I don't think it's going to bail him out. I think the cannabis and the civil rights are so closely intertwined on the war on drugs, the war on communities of color, that, I mean, they really go hand in hand. What do you think, Joe?
I agree. I absolutely agree. I mean, if you think about it, you know, I mean, who put all the drugs in our neighborhoods?
Yes.
You know?
Reagan administration.
Anslinger. Well, we go back to the 30s and Anslinger and all that stuff.
No, so it's interesting. Like I said, this is a very important part of history, I feel like, right now. I feel like, you know, the movements and stuff we do now is obviously going to benefit our children and our grandchildren and beyond, but it starts now, you know. So we're working on some I'm working with a group of my close friends on creating content for people to understand voting and politics a little better, small bite-sized pieces, fun ways to learn it, bold facts and statements, and then, like you guys said earlier, just realizing how important voting is on your local and state level.
Now jumping right into number two with the legendary Tommy Chong.
Number two.
Oh, man, that CBD's gone wacko, gone crazy.
Really?
Because we're in like Walmart, we're in all sorts of straight stores with the CBD.
Good
and
for
so,
you.
So
the CBD's say, hey, taking listen, off.
Hey, pretty soon you're going to have to be talking to my secretary to get me to come on.
We already did, Tommy. We already did.
That's how we got you anyways, Tommy. Don't get it twisted. What do you mean pretty fucking soon? Who are you kidding? Don't try to be modest over there.
But he's not my secretary. He's a partner.
Well, you're paying him well. He's doing a good job.
I'm talking about someone that works for me and gives all the excuses. You know,
like your assistant.
I'm sorry he's in a meeting.
You need somebody to hold your phone so you could do these interviews, right? My arm's getting tired.
I'm sorry. He's at the bank right now.
Tommy,
go ahead.
I want to ask you, and I say this in a respectfully way, what took so long to get the Cheech and Chong dispensaries? That seemed like either way, your dispensaries, it seems like that was the no-brainer from Jump Street. Why did not somebody partner up with you guys early on and say, let's
and
do this?
And who did partner with you?
We did. Right off the bat, I got approached, and I had a Chong's Choice line out. Unfortunately, the guy turned out to be a flake, and they were just in it to raise money. And so luckily...
I think we knew those people.
We do know those guys.
I didn't lose any money. He took us to court because we canned him right away. And then he did the, you know, the Donald Trump legal thing.
Well, just sue you. Just lie all over the place. No, just
yeah,
sue.
That's sue. What they did. But no, the reason they never grabbed us, they were so busy Willie and Snoop you know, it was too soon.
Right.
We felt it was too soon. And so when MedMen fell because hanky panky with the money raised, you know, and over, what do they call it? They went, the over promised.
Yes.
You know, and they raised too much money, and then the people that raised the money, they were doing weird things like buying stuff and then selling it back to themselves.
Cars, you know,
that kind
jets,
of weird stuff.
Escalators.
Yeah. Stuff. That's not good. anytime you start doing that in any project, I don't care what it is, the project's doomed to fail. You know, because we're a nation of laws, and it's not arbitrarily. You know. We're a nation or a race of people. You know, this physical universe is built on laws, physical laws, and we have to obey those laws. And then there's a moral law that needs to be obeyed, and you can't mess with it, you see. I mean, it'll be for a short term, you'll be prospering, but in the long run, you fall down. There's nothing to sustain a lie. That's what I'm trying to say.
I mean, it's funny because I think, without mentioning names, we did have a client or two working with that same potential company, and they were trying to use people's lock people up and use their name to raise money, and the money wasn't getting accounted for, where it was going, what they were doing with it. It was a real shit show. And a lot of
it was
people,
a scam.
And a lot of people were doing that in the beginning. Now, going forward, how much do you get involved with the legal end of it and all the hurdles you have to go through to get a license of your own for your own dispensary, such as up in San Francisco? Have you had to be very involved in that?
No.
Good for you.
My son, Paris Chong, he's my front man for that.
Wonderful.
And then I have a retired Wells Fargo banker working for us too. He's part of our company, Chong Son.
Number one.
When we grow up, it's either the cucuy or the mota and stay away, mijo. But as well as growing up, my mom used to put it in alcohol. Your family was okay with it all. Or am I assuming that?
No, she wasn't until later on. First, she was like, she thought you would maybe lose your mind or just lose yourself or whatever. And she, for her, it was just a frequency of just healing. But she didn't know about, you know, I got a funny story. Like, she finally went to see us at the Fillmore, my dad and my mom. You know, they got in and they're watching all these hippies and they're sitting down on the floor watching us play. And my mom goes, viejo, He goes, what is it? He goes, these hippies are so poor. They don't even have money to buy cigarettes. They keep passing it around. My dad looked at it and goes, it's not a cigarette, you know? He goes, it's not? She goes, no, there's not a cigarette. I'm smoking marijuana. Oh, my God, you know? So my parents are so – my dad knew, but my mom didn't know about it. She learned to – here's the word, trust. That's a big word, yeah. You know, and that humans need to have. Trust and believe that your thoughts, intentionality will lead you into a place where you can be prosperous. You can be very, again, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. No, if yeah. you're happy, you have peace of mind, enjoy.
Clap your hands and take a toke.
Yeah. And there's Carlos, a reason to say, merrily, 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 life is but a
dream. And speaking of trust, how did the trust come with you in this partnership, though, with Left Coast Ventures?
It's like anything in life, man. People who are in the same frequency co-joined together, they believe that by aligning their product frequency, whatever you want to call it, with my name, that it goes from 7 to 77, from 77 to 177, mm-hmm. you know? And so I'm very, very grateful, as I said before, because for me, it's just energy. It's just energy. And I'm honored that they trust me. I'm in company of Bob Marley and Mickey Hart and myself. We're the only ones so far that are part of this.
What an amazing team.
I pledge to offer all this energy, most of it, or 50% strictly to American Indians to have fresh, pure water in the reservations, whether it's Hopi, Navajo, like that, you know, keep going like that. Also for India, South Africa, Africa and South America for uniforms and to make humans develop a better education. The other 25%, I want to help my son with his vision, and the other 25%, I'll keep it to keep Milagro Foundation going with employees and stuff like that. So for me, all of this energy immediately goes back
sure.
to humans to have a better way of life.
Well, there you have it, the top 10 Cannabis Talk 101 interviews of 2020. Thanks again for tuning in and rocking with us all year. Remember, 800-420-1980 is the number to leave your voicemails. And don't forget, if nobody loves you, we do. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.